that, and that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for the survival of Christian civilization, it's going to be reality and not illusion or delusion that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and hopefully for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Jonathan Gray. And Jonathan Gray is, well, he's sort of like an Indiana Jones. He travels all over the world looking for odd, certainly, structures, or looking for history, looking for evidence of past and mysterious life throughout the world. He's now coming from a Christian point of view, unlike Indiana Jones. And, of course, so much of what's been discovered tends to verify the stories of the Bible. We're told, you know, Jesus was asked when he was coming again, and he says, as it was in the days of Noah. Well, what do we know about the days of Noah? What do we really know about this ancient world that's out there? Well, you look at those pyramids, there's no way that those pyramids were certainly just built by men. There had to be supernatural forces and information behind them. If you've ever toured the Nile, as I have, and seen those magnificent temples there, and well, we don't know exactly when they were built, but I suspect a lot of them were built long before the flood. And there's so much there that history that we don't know about. Well, I've asked Jonathan to be with us tonight because he had certainly had an article recently, and I get his regular weekly information. Jonathan lives over in New Zealand, travels throughout the world, and he'd actually written about these men, these skeletons that have been found where men were over 8 feet tall. Now, of course, you're not going to read about most of the discoveries that Jonathan has made in the regular media because the media is controlled. And the last thing they want you to understand is the fact that there really have been spiritual forces around for a long period of time, the miraculous things. There have been races and certainly all sorts of things that we don't understand. They don't understand Easter Island and the megaliths there. They don't understand Stonehenge. They don't understand the table, the pyramids and the great temples, not only in Egypt but other places throughout the world. Jonathan, you pick up the story, and are we going to talk about those skeletons, that 8-foot skeletons that they found? Go right ahead.
Well, a lot of skeletons are being found, Dr. Stan. Anyway, it's good to be with you again and to hear your voice and to hear your program as well.
Well, we always enjoy having you. So basically, what would you like to talk about this evening? You always have something interesting that will help our listeners understand what's really going on in the world.
Well, I know that you contacted me after my newsletter 350, which had to do with scientific deception and cover-up. I don't know how much time you'd like to spend on that, but I could spend all day on that subject alone.
Well, let's just we don't have all day. I wish we did, but why don't we just go into the scientific deception? I think that's so vitally important because they're lying to us, ladies and gentlemen. The media is controlled, and the last thing they want you to understand is the truth of the scriptures. But go right ahead.
Well, as you know, I'm calling from New Zealand, and a young New Zealander was on a visit to the USA. Her name was Lisa, and for a while she worked with the New Mexico Parks Department. And during her term of employment, there was a big washout in one of the park regions. I'm assuming it was up in the Pueblo country around Taos. And the flash flood scoured out embankments, and when it did so, there was a large number of skeletons exposed, quite anomalous. And Lisa and her colleagues were assigned the task of gathering up the remains and placing them into crates. Now, attending this excavation were officials from the Smithsonian Institute and also, would you believe, FBI agents. I don't know why they were there, but they were there. And each day, as Lisa and the other employees went onto the site, they were searched for cameras, and then when they left the site each day, they were again searched just to make sure they weren't
removing
anything.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
You may have heard about the 90 essential nutrients or the Mighty 90 needed for good health. But with all the products out there, what exactly are they talking about? The Mighty 90 is 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 60 plant-derived minerals, and 2 essential fatty acids. So, now you know. But with all the products you see and hear advertised, what exactly do you buy to come up with the Mighty 90 in the right ratios to promote good health? Youngevity has made it easy with the Healthy Start Pack, which contains one canister of Beyond Tangy Tangerine Vitamin and Plant-Derived Mineral Complex, one bottle of Bone and Joint Enriching OsteoFX Plus, and one bottle of EFA Plus Essential Fatty Acids, all in the proper ratios to promote good health and vitality. For more information or to order, call 1-800-991-8730. That's 1-800-991-8730 and ask about business opportunities.
Disaster can strike at any time. That's why Americans spend billions on insurance policies. But what about investing into disaster preparedness supplies, especially food? After Hurricane Sandy, people waited weeks for help to arrive. Be prepared for anything with Mountain House freeze-dried foods, the finest in the industry, packed in heavy-duty double-enameled number 10 cans with over 99% of the oxygen removed for the longest shelf life of any product available. And the taste, absolutely delicious. Entrees, meats, vegetables, fruits, and desserts made in the USA. Just add hot water, wait 10 minutes, and serve. Save 25% on Mountain House number 10 cans, April 2nd through the 8th, with free shipping to the lower 48 states. Visit freezedryguy.com. That's freezedryguy.com. Or call 866-404-3663. 866-404-3663. Get 25% off April 2nd through the 8th. Act today. Don't miss out.
Ladies, New Zealand lady, who is actually part of this exploration. And here they're finding these skeletons 8 feet tall. And when she left the country, why, she was thoroughly grilled by the government officials. Now, why is this? Well, because there's an obvious cover-up of so much of what's going on today. And you live, ladies and gentlemen, in the atmosphere that they've created for you. We have six major corporations who control 90-95% of the media outlets. They control our universities. They largely control what the American people think and believe. But of course, Jonathan was just saying that certainly before the flood, why supposedly there was a canopy over the earth, we didn't have rain, certainly the canopy filtered out, certainly the cosmic rays, and people grew much larger, animals grew much larger. There have been found in the coal deposits evidence that there were trees that were 1,000 feet tall at that time. And we're talking about the era before the flood. We don't talk about that ordinarily. We don't really talk about the scientific things that were available at that time, because as Lord has told us, when he's to return, it'll be as it was in the days of Noah. And I believe there were great scientific achievements at that time. And they all ended, and then we started in all over again after the flood. But Jonathan, why don't you go ahead? You were just talking about those trees, 1,000 feet tall.
Yes, well, that's almost three times taller than the tallest trees we have on Earth today. And not only trees, but plants and vegetables with which we're familiar today were much larger. A Japanese scientist during the Japan Expo a few years ago grew a tomato plant. What he did was he tried to reproduce the pre-flood atmospheric conditions, shielding them from the cosmic rays, a double oxygen pressure in the atmosphere, which has been determined did exist in the past. And under these conditions, he grew this tomato plant, and it grew into a tree, Dr. Stan, 30 feet high, and produced tomatoes for a year or more, I think it was something like 5,000 tomatoes.
Well, of course, that's just amazing. But, of course, this must have been an amazing world in that time before the flood, because it became totally corrupt because of man's inherent corruptness. But we don't like to talk about that or the knowledge or the things that existed at that time, and so much that there's a conscious, organized effort to suppress the truth of that. Go right ahead.
Yes, there is. And just imagine an alligator as big as an average-sized house. Fossils of such have been found. In Australia, kangaroos, three times taller than they are now, sheep as big as rhinos are today. These are fossils. We know that they lived because their remains are found in the rocks of the earth. It appears that animal life and plant life and human life was much larger. Now, of course, this is not what the evolution theory would want us to understand, because evolution, by its very nature, is that we started off in a little bit of slime in some ocean, and we've been gradually getting bigger and better, more complex and more sophisticated in our build and makeup, and that in the past everything was smaller and less sophisticated and simpler. Well, now, the fossils say just the opposite. Darwin's theory was hammered out, I think it was 1859, he wrote his Origin of Species. And at that time, archaeology had hardly existed. The various other sciences were in the infancy. Geology wasn't well established. And DNA, of course, was unknown, genetics. All these things and their findings are now proving that the evolution theory is one big mistake. And anyone who believes in it today really is an adult believing in a fairy tale. So this discovery of great giant creatures, plant life, animal life, and men too, means that the evolution theory has lost its credibility.
But
of
course, evolution,
they don't want us to know.
Evolution was accepted and popularized by the people who wanted to destroy Christianity, because, of course, there's two theories. Either God created the heavens and the earth, or they evolved. Well, of course, I mean, you have to have a tremendous amount of faith to believe in the theory of evolution when you see all these suddenly the magnificent things that we have, and to think they all happened by chance, just looking at a flower and an iris and a rose, and to think that this sort of happened by accident. I mean, basically, you look at the human hand. As an orthopedic surgeon for many years, I always marveled at the engineering perfection of the human hand. And this simply is transposed into all parts of the body, even to how our intestinal tract works. But basically, of course, they wanted to convince us that Darwin was right. And once you accept Darwinism, then there's no need for a God. And there is a conspiracy against God. Don't you believe a conscious, organized, orchestrated effort to convince us of a lie? And it's been accepted at our universities. In fact, if you're at a major university and you advocate, you know, evolution, if you don't have tenure, why, your job is gone and you'll never get another job.
Oh, that's so true. I've met people who had to suffer with that as well. Honest people who accepted the fact that evolution was a mistake, and they started speaking up about it, and it wasn't long before they lost their job. That's true.
And that's, of course, why most of our universities aren't really worth attending, because they're not going to tell you the truth, though they may help you to get something. It's wonderful to be a doctor and to get medical education, but I had to unlearn so much of what I learned in college after I got out of those institutions. Go right ahead, Jonathan.
Yes. Dr. Sten, I'd like to perhaps mention about a farmer who nearly went to prison for the same reason. A simple farmer. And a few years ago, Dr. Yadier Cabrera of Ica in Peru was given a stone by a poor local farmer. Now, normally you wouldn't expect a stone to be much of a gift, but this villager, this farmer, just an average sort of man, didn't value it very highly, this piece of stone, but to the educated Dr. Cabrera, it meant a lot. The reason was this. Carved on that stone was a fish, And Dr. Cabrera recognized it as a long extinct species, something that hasn't lived for thousands of years. So it aroused his curiosity. Now, he went looking for more stones that he might be able to purchase from the farmer. And the farmer explained that he'd collected the stones down near the river after a flood. And that he believed they'd been washed out of a cave. Now, over time, Dr. Cabrera accumulated more and more of these strange carved stones. In fact, it wasn't long before he had thousands of them. And eventually word of these Ica stones, as they were called, because of their location, and their potential importance filtered out to the mainstream archaeological community. Now, the carvings had something special about them. They were sophisticated. They were done by some person or persons who had carved men fighting with dinosaurs. They'd carved men performing operations with surgical equipment, and they carved men with telescopes. Now, a number of the stones were sent to Germany to be examined, and there the etchings were dated to several thousand years back. Now, of course, we do know, don't we, all of us, aren't we told in university and in school that men didn't live at the same time as dinosaurs? Well, eventually the British Broadcasting Corporation heard of this discovery, and in a little while they swooped down to Peru, and a documentary came out about these strange ancient stones. Now, this ignited a storm of controversy, and now I know when the media gets hold of something, they often give a sensational story, but the education people are usually, if it's something that threatens what they're teaching, they usually try to clamp down on it, and this is exactly what happened. Archaeologists criticized the government of Peru for being lax in enforcing antiquities laws. That was the excuse they made. That wasn't their real concern. Next, they applied pressure to the government officials, and the farmer who had been selling the stones was arrested. Can you believe that? Anyway, he was interrogated, and he claimed to have found the stones in the river and in the cave. But he refused, according to the authorities, he would not reveal the exact location of them. Now, the Peruvian government then threatened to prosecute and imprison him. But they said, we'll give you a plea bargain. And the man was frightened out of his wits. So he recanted on his story and admitted that he had carved all the stones himself. This uneducated, unskilled man who could not read, he had carved all 11,000 of the stones. Now, a lot of these stones were quite large, not to forgetting also they were intricately carved with animals and scenes that the poor farmer could never have knowledge of unless he was a paleontologist. Now, what about the fact that he also had to work hard every day to earn a living to support his family, his wife and children? And yet, despite this, he spent every day for several decades doing nothing else, just producing these carved stones. Could anyone really believe that? But anyway, the underlying facts were neither here nor there to the authorities, and the stones were dubbed a hoax and forgotten. Now, it didn't require any more head-to-head confrontation, so there was no need for public discrediting of these so-called non-scientists by scientists, and the whole matter was disposed of invisibly. Anyway, questions started coming in, and they eventually had to face the music. And today, those stones are well displayed, and no one can stop it because they're not in the hands of the establishment. This Dr. Cabrera was sidelined, and he was able to publicize.
It's incredible the lengths that they will go to try to keep the public from knowing the truth about what's really going on and the history, and of course, the fact that evolution is a lie. We'll be back in a moment.
Hello, folks. This is Steve Day, the director of Home for Health Lifestyle Center. And over the past years, we have been blessed by witnessing folks plagued by chronic illnesses gain restoration and get back their health after coming through our live-in Christian health retreat. Today, sickness and disease is everywhere. cancer, MS, diabetes, and chronic diseases plague us. But there is hope, and Home for Health can help. We're here to help you in your time of need, and we would encourage you to go to the Home for Health website, www.homeforhealth.net. That's www.homeforhealth.net. Or you can call us today at 888-642-9644. That's 888-642-9644. Call Home for Health today and start your healing journey now.
Home for Health, truly do always excel. Being free of disease is real well. Home for Health.
Americans love pills. America's 40 million seniors will have consumed 1.6 trillion pills during their lifetime, not counting vitamin pills. This is health journalist Bill Sardi. Americans are living longer an additional 18 years after they reach age 65. How will senior Americans spend that time? You've got it. Taking more and more pills to treat more and more disease. We need a better approach. How about a pill that promotes health rather than treats disease? That's where a pill I formulated comes in. It's called Longevinix, and it's a well-tested combination of herbs and vitamins proven to trigger genes activated by a limited-calorie diet, even mimicking physical exercise. Longevinix promotes healthy vision, heart pumping, immune response, blood clotting, and even mood. Call 1-866-405-4000 to order today. Healthy aging. Longevinix. Get started before you grow old. Call now 1-866-405-4000. 405-4000.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Do you enjoy cooking? Would you like to learn the culinary secret that Barbara uses to enhance the flavor of Dr. Stan's food? Who's Barbara? She's Dr. Stan's wife. And what's her secret? She uses the delicious spices produced by Old Westport Spice and Trading Company. After using and enjoying their products for almost 20 years, Dr. Stan and Barbara decided they should offer their favorites to you. If you would like to please your family and enhance the flavor of your food, call 800-544-8927. That's 800-544-8927. I suggest you call today. Once again, the telephone number is 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927.
And closer to home where I am, there's a forest called the Waipua Forest in the northern part of the North Island. And just a few years back, a fellow called Terry and a friend and three boys, all the boys range from 7 to 17 years old, they went into this forest for a bushwalk. And they found some ancient stone structures. 2,000 structures actually turned out to be there, ancient stone structures. Now, these were on public land administered by the Department of Conservation, which is the right of all citizens to hike through the area because it's public. No legal restriction. And they were dismayed to find that timber felling was taking place between these ancient structures, and yet for hundreds of years, thousands, these structures had survived, but now they might have very little time left before they were destroyed. They came back to their vehicle, and there was a threatening note tucked under the window wiper, and it said, "You have entered this area without prior authority, and you act as thieves. The next time you do this, you'll be treated as such and suffer loss. Now, they were astonished that somebody was upset that they'd gone into that area. Well, when the significance of this information was made known to an archaeologist, whom I know, a friend of mine, he began to talk about it. And certain New Zealand government departments produced an archival document. And this document showed government intention to withhold this archaeological discovery from the public for a period of 75 more years. So this information was covered up, and neither the public nor bona fide research workers were allowed to view the results of the digs until the year 2063. It was labelled top secret. Now, when my friend leaked to the public the news of this ban, many of the indignant people began writing to the National Archives for an explanation. They said, why is this embargo put in place? Is it legal? They contacted their members in the government, members of parliament, to enforce a release of the information. And among those who complained, who had no success, was Noel Hilliam, curator of the Dargaville Museum, and Joan Leith, a historian. And the reason for the ban? What was so threatening about these stone buildings that have been found? 2,000 of them. How could they pose a threat to national security? Well, my guess is this, that for a number of years it's been taught in the schools that the original inhabitants of New Zealand were the Maori. And we have land ownership claims coming through and the negotiations going on between the Maori and the government, even at this moment, as to claims they're making for land. So the question arose, was the information derived from this dig threatening to the teaching that the Maoris were the original inhabitants of New Zealand? And what caused another man that I know, Ned Nathan, head of an advisory committee, to exclaim, that's 500 years before we Maoris got there. So these were dated 500 years, half of a thousand years before the Maoris ever came to New Zealand.
And when did the Maoris come to New Zealand?
The Maoris came to New Zealand around about 1,000 years ago.
All right, fine. So this will be 1,500. We'll be back in a moment.
Hi, this is Joyce Riley, and most of you now know why some people believe that Mount Gabba is a miracle. The mechanics and machinists use it in their shops. Chiropractors and physicians are using Miracle 2, and the uses are simply too numerous to mention. Dr. Stan and the folks at Radio Liberty knew right away that the listeners would benefit tremendously by using Miracle 2 products. You can enjoy the benefits of Miracle 2 and help Radio Liberty continue to broadcast Dr. Stan's message by calling 800-544-8927 to order your Miracle 2 today. After you've tried Miracle 2 around the house, you'll probably do just what so many others have done. Get rid of all those toxic cleaners and chemicals under your sink. Call Radio Liberty and order your Miracle 2 today. 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927. Dr. Stan Monteith and so many listeners know that Miracle 2 soap isn't just soap. It's a miracle.
For many decades, these great United States have had security and plenty because of the thousands of small farms which supply our every nutritional need. For generations, these dedicated men and women have supplied us with fresh food at reasonable cost. There is a chance that our food supply could be cut off in the event of a national emergency. You should carefully consider planting your own home garden. A seed bank from seedcatalog.com will make it almost easy. A seed bank contains every seed you'll need to plant a basic survival garden, all heirloom and all ready for you to create that special, necessary outdoor resource. Where can you find out more? Call 888-866-9132 or go to seedcatalog.com. Call 888-866-9132 right now and order seed for this year's garden. Seedcatalog.com.
So you finally decided to start taking a vitamin supplement. Those chewables and tablets are fine if you don't mind paying for something that is only absorbed about 4 to 6%. However, a liquid supplement can have a 90% absorption rate if you choose the right one. Youngevity offers a wide variety of liquid supplements with a 90% absorption rate or more. Beyond Tangy Tangerine may be the best one ever invented. It starts as a liquid that is freeze-dried like those instant coffees into a crystal. Then all you have to do is add a couple of scoops to water. No refrigeration, no fuss, no mess. Not only do you get a complete multiple vitamin, Beyond Tangy Tangerine also has minerals, and it tastes fantastic. You'll want to drink it all day long. So the next time you reach for a vitamin supplement, reach for Beyond Tangy Tangerine from Youngevity. For more information or to order, call 1-800-991-8730. That's 1-800-991-8730 and ask about business opportunities.
New Zealand, where these artifacts are, they date back probably 1,500 years before Christ was born, which is about 3,500 years ago. I'm sorry, you say basically that would be about 500 AD, is that right?
Yes, about 500 AD, which is 500 years before the official landing time of the Maori.
Right, so that's 500 AD, not BC, but 500 AD. And this is all being covered up by the New Zealand government. Film crews that have wanted to go in have been effectively blocked. And, of course, even people from New Zealand who've gone in there have had their lives threatened by hooligans, presumably hired certainly by very, very powerful people who want to conceal this information. And people say that sort of thing couldn't really go on today. And I would say, of course it can go on. I've seen this time and time and time again. A number of people I've interviewed through the years have mysteriously disappeared and never to be heard from again. Well, before we go on, Jonathan, why I'd like you to tell our listeners how they can get in touch with you and may perhaps even take your email. I know you sent that email out on a weekly basis. Always fascinating. I always enjoy getting it. How can people get to your ministry and get to your material?
Oh, thank you. And my website is beforeus.com, www.beforeus.com. Just a little scrolling down of the page, main page on that website, there's a little box where people can just put their first name and their email address, and they'll immediately start getting emails out. Very happy to share with anyone who's interested.
And then, of course, you have a number of wonderful videos. We used to carry them. I don't know that we still do, but there's certainly, you have all sorts of fascinating videos, pictures. And, of course, Ron has been over there exploring the area where Ron Wyatt did. Those of you who haven't, actually, it's in our material on certainly Ron Wyatt's discoveries over there, the Ark of the Covenant. Certainly the Noah's Ark, the real Mount Sinai, the crossing of the Red Sea. So many items, but basically we've been lied to, and certainly Ron, who is an anesthesiologist, I had an opportunity to interview several times, and then, of course, John went over there, and certainly Jonathan went over there and evaluated that. Well, let's get back to this subject. I don't want to get on to the other subject, but you have some fascinating information on that. So are there other things that certainly we could talk about that you know have been actively suppressed to keep the people from understanding the history of ancient history?
Well, why don't you come with me to Australia, Dr. Stan, up there in Queensland. Very interesting, goings recently. What can you do when the media, the politicians, and the university can conspire to deny and suppress and steal your evidence, then laugh at you as a comedy character? Happen to a fellow that I know very well, an archaeologist, Val Osborne. Now, he was a careful researcher of remains in Australia for 40 years. Now, first of all, I should explain that it's widely taught that the Phoenician people never sailed far beyond the old world Mediterranean Sea. And secondly, that nobody stumbled on Australia before modern European explorers in, say, the 17th century. And another thing, that the Aborigines have been in Australia 20,000 or 40,000 years. There's three myths that are being taught in the schools over on this side of the world. Now, he came up with a very dangerous discovery. The discovery of a 3,000-year-old mine and harbour on the coast of Queensland. The place is called Freshwater Point, near the little town of Serena in the sugar country, where they grow a lot of sugar in Queensland. He found a huge man-made seawall. Some of them, 800 metres long. That would be about 300 feet long, of polished granite set in iron slag cement and copper slag. Definitely very sophisticated.
You mean about 3,000 feet long, not 300 feet.
3,000
feet long. Just a gigantic seawall. Right, go ahead.
Yes, and you could put 3 200-foot ships end-to-end in just one little section of it, and it's beautifully engineered. It has all the signs of a typical Phoenician colony settlement of the ancient sea kings, which goes back to, say, around about BC 1000.
And what part of Australia is this in?
This is in North Queensland, near the little town of Serena,
okay.
And the actual location is called Freshwater Point, on the east coast of Australia.
Okay,
northeast coast.
I know approximately where that would be. Go ahead.
Yes, and the similar. This site is the same, actually, virtually the same as Phoenician sites all around the North African coast, including Carthage and Tyre and Sidon, which were capitals of Phoenician settlement in the time of King Solomon and even before that. And a typical Phoenician colony, how you describe it, it comprised an isthmus with freshwater springs and double harbours built of stone set in furnace slag cement. That's how they used to build. They'd have these twin harbours on an isthmus with freshwater springs and furnace slag cement, which was, of course, man-made. They had that as a pattern of their ports, wherever they established these ports. Now, Osborne came to this place, and he realized it was uniquely Phoenician, as were quite a few other sites on the Queensland coast. Here were two artificial harbors, meticulously engineered, very large, and a ruined jetty with slag heaps that had been come from furnaces of gold, mercury, and copper ore. That was confirmed. So there was evidence of refining here and an artificial reservoir of water lined with clay, covered about 2 acres. That was behind it. Then he found mines. Mining was carried out. And over 1 million tons of ore had been removed and processed by his estimate. And the placer deposits had very carefully been cleaned out. Now, the whole area around this settlement is about 3 kilometres. That's about 2 miles of coastline, with a shipyard complete with a slip and revelments and walls and gigantic stone fish traps and a cemetery. In the mines, blast furnaces, there were traces that blast furnaces had been used. And the slag cement from the blast furnaces on the beach was recycled to construct jetty. Now, the Phoenicians were renowned for this type of slag cement construction of jetty. So there was no doubt this was Phoenician. And the Phoenicians, of course, were lived right next door to the Canaanites, whom the Hebrews came in and possessed that territory ultimately under Joshua and his successors. But there was found a bell temple, which was definitely Canaanite, a Canaanite altar, and a cemetery. And the slag heaps also were abundant with ancient roads, reservoirs, the usual kind of petroglyphs, which would identify the nation that gave them. And the one thing it did for me was it substantiated the evidence in my book, my two books, Dead Men's Secrets and Ark of the Covenant, that the Phoenicians and the Egyptians had visited Australia as early as the time of Solomon and earlier. And the expeditions from the Mediterranean came looking for minerals and such other things as eucalyptus oil, which comes from Australia, sandalwood, and gemstones and so on. Now, if this find is Phoenician, and I have no doubt that it is, and it dates to before 1000 BC, it could be further evidence pointing to voyages by the Red Sea fleet of King Solomon, Hiram of Tyre, that the Bible speaks of. Now, what happened when he discovered this? He worked at it for 20 years before he went public. And when he had watertight evidence, he then went to the news media and the Australian Broadcasting Corporation, they call it the ABC. They put it on the 6 o'clock news, prime time news for the day. Well, the Serena Shire Council requested that Val Osborne give them a report, and so he did. And he also sent a copy to the Central Queensland University. Well, the council was very happy because they hoped that this would generate tourism in that part of their country, help the economy. But the university, no, they were not happy. They said that this is a political time bomb and we don't want to be holding it if it explodes. So what they did was they sent a young archaeologist for 5 days with a $10,000 grant and they gave him orders to go up there, report back that nothing was there. How about that?
Well, I can believe this sort of thing happens. I have no question at all. So what happened? I suppose this gentleman had spent all this time studying this was discredited?
Well, what happened was, yes. When he was interviewed the next time by the ABC, who had been very favourable and very supportive of the news because he showed them the evidence on the first broadcast, on the next broadcast, he was decredited and made to look like a silly ass. And the artifacts that had been given to the university for their study, they denied they'd ever received them. And a university representative came on the same 6 o'clock news program, and he was represented as an archaeology expert, when in reality, our investigation shows he was only an art history teacher at the university. So Val Osborne, his discovery was killed. He was made a laughingstock in the media, and it was ended up by telling the public there's no site, there are no artifacts, and there was an academic who was told to do a job, he did it, and he wasn't going to put his career on the line, so he did what he was told to do.
And ladies and gentlemen, here in the United States, we're told that Columbus discovered America in 1492. That's what I was told, you know, and this then began the immigration. Ladies and gentlemen, the Vikings had been here 500 years before, you know, they had colonies in Greenland about 1,000 AD, and certainly probably before that, they found all sorts of certainly ruins in the central part of the United States. Long antedating that, we've been lied to and lied to and lied to. They create our reality. Would that be a fair assessment?
Oh, yes. They create the reality. They write fiction as though it was fact, and they dish it out because they know that no one has the influence to overthrow what they're saying. Even if whoever has the influence, whoever knows the truth, they don't get a chance to tell it. I believe that you have a very valuable program here, Dr. Stan, because you are letting the truth get out. And I wish there were more brave people such as yourself who are willing to present truth and not be afraid of the consequences.
Well, I don't know whether it's a brave or foolish, but we've been doing it for 20 years now. And for one reason or other, God has protected us. I do what other people have done this sort of thing and haven't been that fortunate. But as long as God protects us and allows us to do it, we will try to give our listeners the news behind the news, the story behind the story. So basically, Gershwin, I would love to get Jonathan on because he has so many wonderful stories. We've just certainly touching the tip of the iceberg here. Are there any other stories? We've got about, maybe 10 minutes more to go.
Oh, yes. In the United States, coming back to your country again, there was a discovery made in a coal mine. The coal miners themselves made it. I believe that this, I'm just trying to think where it happened. When I'm talking about it, it may just come back to me where this occurred. It was a coal mine in one of the eastern states in America, and these miners were digging away down below the ground, and they came across an air pocket. what had been an air pocket. It was an air pocket, and at the time the coal was laid down, it was where the water just didn't penetrate for a while, and this got trapped. Now, what they found in the coal mine as they built this drive across horizontally, they came into what I'm calling an air pocket, and it was like a large cave inside the cave of coal with a hollow, big hollow inside the coal. They looked up and they saw in the ceiling the shapes of human bodies. They also saw parts of human bodies in the walls and even in the floor of it. This is where men had been drowned and trapped. Now, during the flood, forests were trapped and they became coal eventually. And people were found in this coal mine. People who no doubt were being drowned at the same time the timber was being washed by the flood. And here they were now petrified or coalified in the air pocket.
Well, do you think this is part of the flood, of Noah's flood? Would this be your interpretation of it?
Oh, yes, I think so. It was enormous. It laid down this whole coal area, several thousand feet deep. And here were human beings in it. Now, that's not the first time human remains have been found in coal. Two miles below the ground, another drive was given, and the coal miners came slap bang against a concrete wall, man-made wall that was buried in the coal, in the heaps of trees that were rolled over it and then became coal. So here was a man-made building in the coal, and iron pots and silver vases and all sorts of wonderful things had been found in coal made by man, and these were buried, I believe, at the time of the flood. Getting back to this particular find, the men, when they came off duty that day, they went up and they started talking about what they'd run into. And the management of the mine was embarrassed by the find because scientists started coming across in the next few days questioning them. And then the order was given that the mine had to be closed down. And if they wanted to mine somewhere else, they could carry on, but this particular location was closed down forever. And then they started building a dam. And they built a large dam of water over the site, and that dam still exists today. And that's how they got rid of the evidence.
You know, I can remember going to college, and I remember them telling us oil. Oil came from dinosaurs, and that's where the source of oil. And they got all these dead dinosaurs, and that's why we have oil. Ladies and gentlemen, so much of what I learned in college just wasn't true, and what they're teaching in our colleges today isn't true. And this is why I think Jonathan's information is so fascinating and why we always enjoy having him. Our guest this evening has been Jonathan Gray from New Zealand. And, of course, we're privileged to have him with us. And you'll be fascinated if you get on his website and email him.
Hello, folks. This is Steve Day, the director of Home for Health Lifestyle Center. And over the past years, we have been blessed by witnessing folks plagued by chronic illnesses gain restoration and get back their health after coming through our live-in Christian health retreat. Today, sickness and disease is everywhere. Cancer, MS, diabetes, and chronic diseases plague us. But there is hope, and Home for Health can help. We're here to help you in your time of need, and we would encourage you to go to the Home for Health website, www.homeforhealth.net. That's www.homeforhealth.net. Or you can call us today at 888-642-9644. That's 888-642-9644. Call Home for Health today and start your healing journey now.
Home for Health, truly do unto self, being free of disease is real well. Home for Health.
There is a disturbing trend here in these United States that is progressing unnoticed and without constraint. From the Supreme Court to the smallest county seat, we have seen the judiciary make decisions which are more legislative than interpretive. Our founding fathers designed our three-part governmental system to have checks and balances upon each other. Each branch of the government has now taken upon itself power that was never intended for it to have. The judicial branch in particular needs reform. We must pass laws which bring a renewed sense of justice to our nation's court system. I urge you to go to judicialreformnow.com. That's judicialreformnow.com. There you can find out what you can do to stem the tide of judicial malpractice. judicialreformnow.com.
Most men, when they reach 60 years of age, have urinary tract problems. They have to urinate frequently during the day, and they have to get up several times every night. What's the solution? Many men use a herbal product called Prostate Support. It contains saw palmetto and stinging thistle. It's available from Radio Liberty. Dr. Stan takes Prostate Support and recommends it. And thousands of men take Prostate Support every day because it relieves their urinary tract symptoms. If you would like to try Prostate Support, call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Once again, the telephone number for Prostate Support is 800-544-8927. And I suggest you call today.
There that he sees this battle between good and evil, between God and Satan, being enacted today. And of course, this is our message, which is why I feel so close to Jonathan. We've never met personally, but we've certainly talked to him a number of times. In fact, we're going to put together, I think, a four CD set of my interviews with Jonathan Gray, certainly one of the most fascinating guests that we have. And he's certainly traveled all over the world accumulating information. And I think this will be my next major project, is to put together a four CD set on with Jonathan. So basically, this is the time when I need to remind you that our ministry, Radio Liberty, is primarily listener-supported, and we look to you to help us. And certainly, you can either join the Radio Liberty family of supporters or get our books and CDs and the DVD sets. That you can actually get the products we carry. Actually, we carry health products, the things that you really should be taking, that Barbara and I take. And as you know, I'm 84, and I won't tell you how old my wife is, but I'll tell you she looks about 20 years younger than she is. And how she is able to do the work she does, I really don't know. But God love her. God provided her for me for this, because I couldn't do what I do without her help. So these health products, I do think, help to keep us going. If you'd like a list of them, they're posted on our website at RadioLiberty.com, or you can call us at 1-800-544-8927. But there are many, many things that you need to supplement your diet. And most of the things, or many of the things that you're eating today in the way of prepared food, contain all sorts of toxins into them. And you need to get back to the basic fundamentals. And we're going to have to, perhaps down the line, do a lot more of our own food preparations, rather than simply go to the store and get all sorts of things that really are not healthy for us. They're poisoning our water with certainly the fluoride or with hydrofluorosilicic acid. If you want to know about that, you need to get my talk on fluoridation. The Hidden Agenda comes with a great syllabus. They're poisoning our air with aluminum. You need to get the DVD. It's entitled Geoengineering. There's a four CD set on that. They're poisoning our food with aspartame. We have a four CD set and a DVD on that subject. They're poisoning our children with the vaccines. They contain all sorts of first of toxic substance, but even more than that. Why? Of course, you change the whole structure of the immune system, which is why 1 in 8 children today has asthma, 1 in 11 children has allergies, an explosion of autoimmune disease, an explosion of cancer. And you do not see these things in the children who don't take their vaccines and do not have an altered immune system. Yes, there's a risk-benefit ratio. It's wonderful we've done away with polio. It's wonderful we don't see the measles epidemics we saw before. But if your child has asthma or allergies or autoimmune disease or cancer or brain disease or autism, why is it really worth it? Is it really worth it? You need to get the information, our telephone numbers. Incidentally, the talk is vaccines, the specter haunting America. And we have all sorts of other things, but my talk gives you a good overview of it. That's Vaccines, the Specter Haunting America. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Our webpage is radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. You can listen to our programs there. You can watch our DVDs. You can read our newsletters. You can read my treatise on population control. I do want to mention, of course, that the conspiracy conference will be held certainly on January 1st, January 2nd at the Crown Plaza Hotel in Milpitas. That's just above San Jose. If you want more information, call 925-449-6844. That's 925-449-6844 for the conspiracy conference, June 1st, June 2nd, here in California. Now, I'm not talking, but I will have a table there. But a lot of my friends are talking, and it's going to be a good program. As you know, sometimes they have some pretty far-out people, but they got some wonderful speakers as well. So we ask you to pray for America. If you can help Radio Liberty, we'd love to hear from you. But please pray for our provision and our protection.
Let us swear allegiance to a land that's free. Let us all be grateful for a land so fair as we raise our voices in a solemn prayer.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at and that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for the survival of Christian civilization, it's going to be reality and not illusion or delusion that'll determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and for the next hour, they're going to be the views of our good friend Michael Shaw. And we're going to be talking about Agenda 21. What is Agenda 21? It's the secret agenda for the 21st century. And basically, the whole idea of Agenda 21 is to change the structure of society, the wretching transformation of society, with a dramatic reduction in the population of the world, or certainly with changing the way we live, the way we use electricity, the way we use cars. And people look at you and when you talk about that, they say, well, this could never happen. Well, let's go to Michael Shaw. Michael's been on the front lines of this battle for many years, trying to get people to understand the very real threat of the wretching or agonizing transformation of America. Michael, thank you very much for being with us.
Well, thank you, Dr. Stan. It's a pleasure to be here tonight, although I'm not going to bring any happy news tonight because we're going to move beyond the theoretical foundation for Agenda 21 and talk about its serious application happening on a prototype basis here in the San Francisco Bay Area.
Well, you go right ahead, Michael. That's what we have you here for. We got people all across America listening. And I want you to explain to them what these people are doing. It's not theoretical. It's actually being certainly introduced. It's certainly being carried out today without the knowledge, understanding, or consent of the American people. Go right ahead.
Well, that's for sure. What we're going to talk about tonight is the creation of a city-state, within America. When I say city-state, I mean the end of nationalism, the end of the governance of the state of California. We're going to talk about how a prototype city-state is being established. In fact, in the words of one of its leaders, has been established in the seven counties of the San Francisco Bay Area. But as we lead into that city-state discussion, I think it's first appropriate to talk about One Bay Area, because that's the foundation for the creation of the city-state. And I know that I and others have talked at Radio Liberty about One Bay Area, but let me bring people up to date about what's happening at One Bay Area. And for those who aren't familiar with that concept, give some summary about what One Bay Area is. Now, One Bay Area is a concept that takes seven counties in the San Francisco Bay Area, 101 cities, 7.5 million people, and is designed to make it a single economic unit. Now, as that happens, and it's deemed to happen here in the next several months, I'm going to go through the process of how that is unfolding itself. But as it happens, what is designed is for the elimination of boundaries, elimination of county lines, the merger and consolidation of cities into a few cities within that 101 cities. And the purpose of One Bay Area is to establish what's called priority development areas. These priority development areas are to be scattered around the perimeter of the San Francisco Bay, and all development is to be focused into these spots.
But what about the local governments? What about the city councils? What about the county boards of supervisors? What about our elected officials? What part will they play?
Well, they're playing the part of adopting and accepting the state mandates that come with One Bay Area for the purpose of concentrating all development into these very narrow zones called priority development areas or transit corridor areas.
Hold that thought. We'll be back here in just a moment. Our guest is Michael Savage, right here at the Radio Liberty Network. Michael, go right ahead.
Okay, well, it's Michael Shaw. You don't make many mistakes, Dr. Stan, but I'm not Michael Savage.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Michael. My wife just flashed up on the screen. Go right ahead.
No problem. So these priority development areas are to be scattered. We'll take the San Francisco Peninsula as an example. The priority development area runs up and down the El Camino Real, which is a major thoroughfare that parallels Highway 101. The El Camino Real runs from the city of San Jose, 50 miles north, to the city of San Francisco. Now, the El Camino Real is to be the core for the establishment of these priority development areas. Over the next 20 years, this plan, which is brought to the Bay Area by ABAG, the Association of Bay Area Governments, will concentrate 80% of all new residential housing within these so-called priority development areas. Now, all that housing must be multifamily. No single-family housing allowed for the next 20 years in the San Francisco Bay Area as they stack and pack the human beings, mostly on the peninsula along the El Camino Real. Now, as this process unfolds, the El Camino Real will be void of any private cars, public transportation only. The idea is to build stack-and-pack housing, 630,000 units around the Bay Area. The East Bay has the same program. 630,000 units over the next 20 years, all stack-and-pack. And the idea would be you live in a unit and you walk to your work. Any transportation would be public transportation along the El Camino, and areas outside of these priority development areas will be off limits to any development.
Well, so that means people living outside of these areas be able to have cars and get around?
Well, at least in the interim, they will be. But what we can expect to see is that services, public services to these outlying areas will be abated. We'll find that single-family suburban housing neighborhoods will begin their period of decline. Without city services, with massive inducements to draw people into these stack-and-pack units, the idea of suburban housing, which of course is unsustainable under Agenda 21, will begin to fade from public. At least the expectation from the planners is that the single-family housing will simply die a slow, natural death.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Michael Shaw, and he's simply talking about how this new development will be along the El Camino Real. There'll be about 630,000 stack and plaque, units there. There will be no single homes, no single party homes. They'll all be certainly multiple family homes. Certainly, there'll be no cars allowed. You'll actually certainly work in that area. You'll certainly live in that area. You'll shop in that area. And of course, there'll be public transportation up and down El Camino Real. But this is where the people are. And then the surrounding areas where the people live in single family homes, they'll gradually cut off services to those to gradually move people out of them. Is there any connection between what's going on in Detroit today, where large areas of the city have simply been destroyed, and this Agenda 21 program, or is that simply just a coincidence that the fact that Detroit as a city is simply ceasing to exist?
Well, it's made easy in Detroit because the population has been reduced by at least a half. And so you've got many areas in Detroit that simply have been abandoned by the residents. So what we're going to see is in the San Francisco Bay Area is development patterns that replicate what is now going on in Detroit. But that will come not by relocation of the citizens voluntarily. That will come by the force of government in the direction of the dollars as to how communities are developed and maintained. Now, people may say, oh, this is a pipe dream. And what I say to those people is you need to understand how the COG, the Council of Governments, in the Bay Area called ABAG, every square inch of America has a federal COG directing your local cities. And the COG here, called ABAG, is coming to the cities with a bankroll of $250 billion. That's not a billion, $250 billion to remake the San Francisco Bay Area. So ABAG has been holding these little seances for the last 18 months around the Bay Area. You know, not much publication in the newspapers, not much word to the citizens. But notwithstanding, a core of citizens has shown up at each county's, unrolling of the One Bay Area program. And the citizens have been almost uniformly opposed, but that doesn't matter. This Thursday is the final day for comment on ABAG's One Bay Area program, and within 90 days, they expect to begin implementing it. And to implement it, the cities have to go along. And amazingly, out of 101 cities, all but one are going along. So your city mayor, if you're living in the Bay Area, your city council people are following orders, because every city, I don't care where you are across America, your city is following the directions and the financial inducements put out by the COG that is really running your town. America is no longer the governmental framework we all learned about in school. It is the COG, the Council of Government, along with the Metropolitan Transit entity, both federal organizations, that are now mandating every decision and in control of every dollar coming from the federal government that your city or county is involved in.
Well, Michael, are similar things happening throughout the world? In other words, similar things happening over in Europe and certainly is this part of a worldwide program?
Well, yes, it is. I mean, to the extent that ABAG and the COG are run by ICLEI, the International Council for Local Environmental Initiative, it is a worldwide program. But the real focus is on America, because world government is dependent upon collapsing the American system of government. The first step in doing that is to cause Americans to think that America is a democracy. But once you've got a democracy like we have in California, the door is wide open for the creation of these undemocratic organizations like ABAG to come in with federal monies and federal authority and dictate to your city what it does. And unfortunately, I know of one Bay Area elected official, a man up in San Carlos, who's aware of and is fighting this. Otherwise, elected officials long to be appointed to the regional cog that is really running local government, because that's where the power really is. Yet the public doesn't know about these cogs. No one shows up at the cog meetings except Bay Area residents who now have begun to figure out what's going on. They are showing up at the cog meeting. The cog responds by bringing in massive police forces in order to silence the citizens while this regionalist program takes effect. So what we're seeing here is a small contingent of people showing up to these meetings, almost uniformly opposed to the One Bay Area plan. And yet the comment period for this program ends this week, and in 90 days, ABAG has announced that they'll begin funding the One Bay Area program, and that all cities either go along or they lose their federal funding. And we're not finding politicians out there who are willing to stand up and say, hell no. Now, the pattern happening in the Bay Area is going to happen next in Los Angeles and then in San Diego, Tijuana. I'm going to play some tapes for the audience here later in this show so that you can see how this new system has grabbed hold of all the politics in California. And all I say to people in the rest of the country is, we've known for a long time that as California goes, so goes the rest of the country. That's why the globalist forces in California, including Democrats like our current Governor Brown and our former Republican Governor Schwarzenegger, are so focused on creating California as the first series of city-states in this New World Order program. Now, the San Francisco Bay Area's One Bay Area program is designed to create the Bay Area as America's first city-state. And, you know, maybe with that, it's appropriate for me to play the first of a series of short audio clips from a conference that was held earlier this year, conducted by Joint Venture Silicon Valley. Now, Joint Venture Silicon Valley is one of these NGOs, that is non-governmental organizations, that are accredited by the United Nations for purposes of implementing Agenda 21. Well, Joint Venture Silicon Valley held a conference in February with 1,200 high-level Silicon Valley executives. And they had a speaker named Paul Sappho, who said the following. We're going to play a short clip where he talks about the Bay Area city state. He calls it the city state. And he talks about dissolving boundaries.
The real nexus of power in this century is moving from nation state to city state. California, the Bay Area, is a good example. City-states, both de facto, de jure, legally recognized city-states with, you know, seats at the United Nations like Singapore, and also de facto city-states, powerful regions, are the new basic units of government in the 21st century. They are, to this century, what the nation-state was to the last. City-states are the powerful nexus of economy, commerce, culture, and identity. So what about our Bay Area? Well, I think we actually already are a city-state. We just need to acknowledge it. The new order is not about shifting boundaries. It's about dissolving boundaries.
Now, that, was that, could you hear that?
came through very well, and I think that basically talking about the city-state and suddenly dissolving boundaries, and I think it's so vitally important, people understand this is all being kept secret. This is a subversive movement. It is unconstitutional. It is illegal. But that doesn't matter. They own the power. They control the media, and they control the wealth, and they control the city councils, and if they don't have their people in office, they simply buy them. We have the finest politicians, money goodbye. And basically, this thing is underway. And the fact that most people have never heard about it simply reflects the degree of control that exists today over what the American people think and believe. Go right ahead, Michael.
Well, that's exactly the case, Dr. Stan. And so, you know, I mean, this is evidence of what it is that we as freedom advocates have been saying for many years now. This is the direction. This is the plan. This has been the backdoor effort. But today, with conferences like the Joint Venture Silicon Valley Conference and Paul Sappho, a self-described futurist, give us the cold-blooded evidence that the globalist program for taking down America is in process. Let's listen to a little more of Paul Sappho.
We need to go a step further and say it's time to start thinking about boundary drops between counties. Why should you only be thinking about mergers between cities in the same county? And, of course, we need to merge cities. We have too many cities in the Bay Area.
So that begins to set the stage for One Bay Area. I mean, One Bay Area, if you go to the ABAG website, is all about merging cities and bringing in this centralized system for the establishment of where and how the residents will live.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment with Michael Shaw. Michael, go right ahead.
Well, I think the listener can begin to get a feel that something foul is really afoot. And if people want to understand, I mean, of course, many of your listeners have heard me for years now talking about the Agenda 21 protocol. It's fast coming into effect with leadership like what's happening in the San Francisco Bay Area. But what we're going to listen to next is how it's not simply the Bay Area. I mean, it's other regions in California. I'm going to skip his discussion of Los Angeles. But I think it's worthwhile hearing what Paul Sappho has to say about eliminating transnational boundaries, not just city and county boundaries, but transnational boundaries. Take a listen to this next tape.
One thing I can tell you with certainty, Tijuana does not want to become American, and San Diego does not want to become Mexican. Rather, they just want to be one region undistracted by national government and people who are interfering with economic growth, educational opportunity, and social progress. The same thing that we want to.
My, well, think of that. Not only are they going to break the boundaries between Santa Clara County and San Mateo County as they create the city-state for the Bay Area, the prospect is to eliminate the national boundary on the southern border of California by merging San Diego with Tijuana. That just sounds preposterous. And I would have agreed that that's just preposterous if I had presented this radio show yesterday. But let me talk about a front page story that appeared in today's Santa Cruz Sentinel. Now, it didn't just appear here. It is a New York Times story that appeared in the Santa Cruz Sentinel, and I'm sure it appeared in all of the Bay Area, One Bay Area News Group newspapers, which are owned by Bill Gates, which include the San Jose Mercury and the Oakland Tribune and the Monterey Herald and many other newspapers. This article is entitled, San Diego Mayor Building Economic Bridges to Tijuana. And that article written by Jennifer Medina of the New York Times opens with this statement. opening a satellite city office in a far-flung neighborhood is not unusual in sprawling cities like San Diego. But one thing sets apart Mayor Bob Fulner's newest outpost. It is in another country. When he opened San Diego's Tijuana office this year, Fulner spoke in grand terms about the future of cross-border relations. And then it quotes him in Spanish, saying that we are two cities, but one region. Now, your regular listeners have heard me talk about regionalism. And if you don't understand regionalism, go to Freedom Advocates. We've got some good articles on our homepage about regionalism. Regionalism is the way to break down political boundaries and establish outposts of the New World Order. Well, this isn't me talking anymore. This is the mayor of San Diego talking. This is joint venture Silicon Valley talking, where this conference with 1,200 Silicon Valley executives are sitting listening to this fella named Paul Sappo talking about regionalism.
Hold that thought. We'll be back here in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Michael is simply quoting a gentleman, the mayor of San Diego, and basically, of course, this is not only regionalism, but it's actually international regionalism, and they are planning on merging in one area, Tijuana and Sydney, San Diego. In fact, San Diego's even opened an office down in Tijuana. Basically, it's all about regionalism. Certainly, there will be the Los Angeles area, there will be the San Diego, the Los Angeles area will take in all the surrounding counties, and then San Diego will merge with Tijuana, and basically this will be another region. The whole idea is to do away with city boundaries and create these new international boundaries. This is all part of the program of ICLEI, a subversive program put forward by the subversive element with an Agenda 21 that has an intense hatred upon a city of America, American freedom, wants to replace everything with regionalism under a ruling bureaucracy where freedom as we've known it will simply become a remembrance of things past. Go right ahead, Michael.
Well, you know, and to further that, Dr. Stan, people, you know, conservatives particularly will stand up and say, oh, this couldn't happen. The Republican Party will protect us. Well, let me just say, without any question in my own mind, that the Republican Party is as dead set on this objective as is the Democrat Party. Leadership at the national level, at the state level, at the county level, at the city level. If you are a politician today and you are not silently endorsing and your actions do not silently promote the concept of the establishment of city states, you simply have no future as a politician running under the banner of a Democrat or Republican. So when we swallow that very difficult pill to swallow, we can begin to see how it is that what I'm exposing here tonight could actually be as threatening as it sounds. And the fact that there is no outcry from any political center is the silence that says it all. Because what is happening fast, furiously. It's being led in the Bay Area, no surprise there. They figured that would be the easiest place to get a massive population to silently succumb to this dynamic. I mean, it's evident from the meetings that the so-called outreach meetings that ABAG put on in the context of this One Bay Area program, where the public who did show up at these ABAG meetings was totally opposed to what they were doing. Hasn't slowed them down at all. I'm sure that whatever comments are made by any organization or any individual to be submitted this week as a deadline will make no difference at all. The outcome is predetermined, as we've said about Agenda 21 policies from the beginning. Democracy brings us to that point, because once we accept a system of democratic rule, we open the door wide to undemocratic regionalist outfits.
And basically, ladies and gentlemen, they want to give you the idea that this is a movement of the people. It's not a movement of the people. It's a movement of the elite. It's all laid out. It's all carefully organized. It is not simply for America. It is part of a worldwide movement to change the very structure of society and bring it under the control of a ruling bureaucracy, ruling elite. And understand that certainly if you stand in their way, they will come after you. I know many years ago why I certainly led the Republican Party in this area. They put out $50,000 to get rid of me, put out $100,000 to take over Monterey. This is the way the system really works, of course, with the total cooperation of the local newspaper, which simply lied and lied into the Santa Cruz Sentinel. I mean, I don't even trust the page numbers. I always look at the page numbers to make sure they're not lying about that. But this is the way the local newspaper is. And because they coordinated everything to discredit anybody who stood for righteousness and what was worthwhile. And this is true of so many of the newspapers in this Monterey Bay area, the newspapers certainly in the ABAG area. And until you understand this is a carefully coordinated, orchestrated effort to change the structure of our society. And the fact that you're not hearing about this through regular channels is simply a reflection of the degree of control that exists today over what the American people think and believe. Our guest this evening is Michael Shaw, and you'll certainly want to get a copy of this program and of Michael Shaw's other information. And of course, you'll get that from freedomadvocates.com. We recommend you go there. Go to freedomadvocates.org. I stand corrected. Freedomadvocates.org. Get Michael's material. And then your job is to not only learn this, but help us to get this out. Michael provide the information, but you've got to disseminate it and make people understand this is a subversive movement to change the very structure of our society. It has nothing to do with democracy. It has everything to do with control. It doesn't matter, call it communism, Marxism, socialism. It's about the loss of freedom.
While the storm clouds gather far across the sea, let us swear allegiance to a land that's free. Let us all be grateful for a land so fair as we raise our voices in a solemn prayer.
Michael, you go right ahead.
Well, let me play one more excerpt from Paul Sappho at this February.
Could we wait until we get all of our stations back? It'll be about 2 minutes, but I really want our listeners to hear what Paul is saying, because I think it's vitally important. It's one thing you talk about it, I talk about it. It's another thing to hear what he's actually saying in his own words. So can we just hold off about 2 minutes, and then we'll have Paul again, okay?
Certainly. So let's go back and talk a little bit about One Bay Area, because One Bay Area, as it's defined by Sappho, is it's the pattern for the whole country. Because as the San Francisco Bay Area merges through the force of $250 billion to remake the nature of how we live in this area, to redo our entire transportation system, to merge counties, to eliminate cities. All this money is dedicated for that. That is the pattern for every metropolitan area in the United States. Now, if we take another look at One Bay Area, we've got to understand that it's more about priority, it's about more than simply priority development areas. That is, the stack and pack units built along El Camino, or built, not far from the 880 corridor on the East Bay and the 680 corridor just east of that. It is about creating what's called priority conservation areas that eliminate the private nature of all land holdings in the San Francisco Bay Area. If you're a landowner, a rancher, a forest owner, you simply will lose the control of the use of your property. Of course, we've been inching that way for a long time, but this just makes it blatant. There is no longer any recognition of private property once the One Bay Area program is adopted in the San Francisco Bay Area. That's the pattern for everywhere. People need to take recognition of what's happening in the San Francisco Bay Area. These are federal agencies that are pushing it.
Hold that thought, because this is Dr. Stan, our guest is Michael Shaw. We're talking about this whole idea of just simply doing away with county and city boundaries and simply regionalism. We're going to have one Bay Area in certainly all the counties surrounding San Francisco. And then, of course, we're going to have Los Angeles, all the counties there. And then, of course, then south of that, San Diego and Tijuana will combine into a region. And this makes it much easier to control certainly development, industry, housing. And, of course, what you want to do is control people, get them out of their certainly single-dwelling homes into multi-level homes, certainly where they can be watched carefully from early morning until late night and control every aspect of their endeavor. They will work locally. They'll suddenly shop locally, and you will be totally controlled from the cradle to the grave. Well, Michael, before we go on, I want you to get out your website, tell people how to get in touch with your ministry, and then let's listen to another session there with Paul Salvo, the things that he said at this recent meeting.
Well, our website is freedomadvocates.org. It's been around for a long time now. Lots of research, a great chronology of development regarding Agenda 21 for the last nearly 15 years. And a person who studies freedom advocates, I mean, our purpose from the outset has been to create the kind of documentary evidence that demonstrates to the average American how it is that America is being transformed right in front of our eyes. Our newspapers don't report it. That's because people like Bill Gates own all the newspapers in America. Gates owns all the Bay Area News Group newspapers, and that's most of them in this area. And gee, those newspapers don't report this stuff. Those newspapers, our local newspaper, you know, my word is that Shaw's name is never to appear in the newspaper, because this information, the truth of where American leadership is taking America down the course of a global outpost, is not to be conveyed to the average American citizen, because if they knew about it, there'd be a revolution tomorrow, and our city councils would be replaced instantly, and our boards of education would be replaced instantly, because the American people just don't accept the idea of disintegrating borders and the elimination of the American experiment.
But because people don't hear about it, they don't hear about you, they don't hear about me, they don't hear about people who are telling the truth, but of course they can spend all sorts of time on radio and television and the newspapers on all sorts of trite and unimportant things to keep idle minds busy. Well, let's go ahead and shall we hear more about this gentleman speaking there at the ABAG meeting?
Well, let's do that. One last audio clip from Paul Salvo.
But it's not just Los Angeles. There's a really interesting city-state south of Los Angeles, down, you know, the greater San Diego region. And it's an interesting case because the San Diego city-state is not just on the U.S. side of the border. It includes Mexicali. It includes Tijuana. You know, there was a recent op-ed by Chris Anderson, who's the former head of Wired Magazine. He has a startup company called DIY Drone. They do their engineering in San Diego. They do their manufacturing on the Mexican side of the border. And he's arguing that Tijuana and Mexicali are the Shenzhen to California. But also, it's an important indicator of what's happening, the shift of power from capitals, from centers to boundaries, from capitals to borders, and the dissolving nature of the nation state. We shouldn't call this the San Diego region. We should call it, I don't know, Cali Baja, Mexi California, something like that, because the border doesn't want to exist.
This is a subversive idea, ladies and gentlemen. These people, you know, so they're doing everything they can to destroy the integrity of our nation and merge us into this one world government. You just heard them. They tell you the borders don't exist, and that's right, because the people who control America today have no loyalty to this nation. And I'm talking not only certainly about the elected officials, but the non-elected officials who control, who bought and purchased so many of our elected officials. Go right ahead, Michael.
Well, you know, it's, this is the time when Americans need to gain control, recognize that this globalist program is in operation in your town. I don't care where you live. You may say, well, I'm not living in crazy California. Crazy California can just drop off and fall into the sea. Well, that's not the end of the story, because the Sustainable Development Agenda 21 program is in your town. You say, well, you don't know where I live. And I say, well, all I know is sustainable development, thanks to the federal government, is in every burg across the United States. And if you don't know what sustainable development is, you need to do some study. It's not something that can be described in 5 minutes. But I can tell you that the policies that underlie sustainable development are in your town. And the idea of city-states is in your future. Because the globalist goal is to break down America. And the heaviest focus for doing that right now, maybe always, is in California.
And let me just comment, certainly at the last conference we did, Michael did a wonderful job. He gave a talk. It's called Agenda 21, The Retching Transformation. Or Agenda 21, The Retching Transformation. And then I gave a talk called Agenda 21, The Covert Plan. And basically I have a syllabus there where I have got a lot of their material from the other side where they tell you exactly what they're intending to do. Material you'll never get through regular channels. They're both available by calling 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927. And then Michael has so much great information there at freedomadvocates.org, freedomadvocates.org. Go right ahead, Michael.
Well, and it won't be there tomorrow, but within the next week, we'll have some of the comments that are being submitted to the One Bay Area process, which will certainly be ignored. The consequence of that will be, I suspect, that litigation will be initiated against ABAG and the One Bay Area program. And we're going to need help from Radio Liberty listeners and other Americans across the country, because if this program gets launched here, there will be a continuation of this program wherever it is you are. So all of America needs to band together to put the One Bay Area program under bright lights. That's the last thing they want, is any public recognition, any public objection, any newspaper coverage of this stealth program that is going to first change the San Francisco Bay Area, and then move down to Los Angeles and San Diego, and then spread across the country. And so we need to get it at its root. We need to do that right now. And I can tell you that Freedom Advocates has joined with Rosa Corey of the Post Sustainability Institute, and we have hired counsel to make comments on the One Bay Area program. Those comments will be available on our website, within the next week. And we then will be seeking contributions in order to bring litigation to halt or derail the implementation of this program. But it's going to be a tough battle because, let's face it, the judges here in this state have all been appointed by Democrats or Republicans. And if they are loyal Democrats, loyal Republicans, they favor this program. And all kinds of excuses are made to ignore the constitutional implications of the One Bay Area program. And in that context, I might point listeners to the U.S. Constitution, Article 4, Section 4, which requires that the U.S. government guarantee a Republican form of government in all states. Well, I'd say the federal government has breached that duty because what they are doing is inserting through federal financing policies implemented by the COG system. Most people don't know what COGs are, but they're regional government apparatus. And the COG in San Francisco is called ABAG, the Association of Bay Area Governments. And this is not a Republican form of government. This is a pure Soviet style of government. Democracy leads to Sovietization because you think you've got a vote, but once you vote in your city council and he gets appointed to the COG, your involvement is over. The COG makes the plans. The COG arranges your life. The COG affects all aspects of lifestyle as it moves its program forward. And that's exactly what we're fighting. And so it strikes me that this breach of Article 4, Section 4 is, one avenue for taking the COG's One Bay Area program on in the courts. And we just have to hope that we find an American judge and not a Republican or Democrat.
Well, now, are you going to bring a lawsuit? Is there a group getting together to bring lawsuits to try to bring this out, to dramatize what this is about?
Well, I think that the goal of Rosa Corey and myself, we have funded counsel to make comments, which will be filed this week. And once those comments are made, we'll sit down and figure out what causes of action are best presented for attempting to halt the One Bay Area program. But to do that, we're going to need plenty of money to fund counsel for undertaking that activity. And I'm sure the next time I'm on the air with you, Dr. Stan, we'll be talking specifically about what those causes of action will be and specifically about the kind of monies we need to raise. And if we're unable to do that, there's nobody else fighting this. It'll just happen. And once it happens here, it'll happen in Los Angeles. It'll move to San Diego, Tijuana, and then it'll be in Phoenix, New York City, and everywhere in between.
Well, Michael, we just need to get you that on all of our radio programs, so we will certainly call you and get that arranged. I want everybody within the listening audience that we have to know about this. So I will call you tomorrow, and we will try to get you lined up for all the other outlets that we have, because that's what this is about. This is why I do what I do, to inform people about the situation such as you're describing, which is so little known to the average individual and which are actively being suppressed by Bill Gates and all the newspapers he owns, and certainly by the rest of the people who are tied into what I call the Brotherhood of Darkness. Go right ahead.
Well, I think that gives a starting summary of what One Bay Area is, how these NGOs like Joint Venture Silicon Valley, these highfalutin, big money, big name interests are all conspiring to undo America. And the public doesn't know about it. The public blithely goes along. The public assumes that that Jerry Brown is operating in their best interest. I mean, the interesting part of that is that this Sappho fellow actually makes a statement that the Bay Area will no longer take direction from Sacramento. It will no longer report to Washington, but it will simply be an independent city-state. That's precisely the goal that has been set out by this ICLEI organization, which I've talked about many times on your show. ICLEI says that the future of the world is the establishment of a renewed United Nations called the United Cities. Plan Bay Area is designed to make the San Francisco Bay Area, 101 cities, a single political unit that reports on an international basis, not to Sacramento and not to Washington, but reports as a city-state to this new United Cities of the world.
And the fact that most people have never heard of this is simply a reflection of the degree of control that exists today, what the American people think. And ladies and gentlemen, they know what they're doing. They just don't want you to know what they're doing until it's too late. Because believe me, they have no use for human beings. They think there are too many humans in the world. And certainly if a few hundred million were to die, this wouldn't bother them at all. These people, of course, are above conscience. They are the rulers. These are the elite who control the world, and they have a different vision, a different dream. Go right ahead, Michael.
Well, that's certainly true, and I think it becomes an interesting analysis when one begins to study, and I'm not saying I have completed that study, but I know the study is there with regard to who are these ruling elite. I think oftentimes, Dr. Stan, that very wealthy people think they naturally, since they're wealthy, are part of that ruling elite. But that's not true. You know, and the missing soldier in this battle has been the wealthy people in America whose lives and lifestyle and whose wealth is as much at risk as is the rest of us. Because unless you are a real insider, this globalist regime, you're going to be swallowed up just the same as every ordinary American is going to be swallowed up. This is the greatest assault on humanity in the history of the world. It's very organized. The moneyed interests have come together. Of course, that all relates back to the nature of our monetary system, which is intended to centralize and control all human action. And, you know, people need to be reminded, I hate to do this, but one of the core elements of Agenda 21, sustainable development, is the reduction of human population by 85%.
As incredible as that seems, ladies and gentlemen, these people are deadly, deadly serious. I know I've read their material. I've talked to them. We've interviewed them. They know exactly what they're doing, and they really do intend upon worldwide genocide. If you've never read my treatise on population control agenda, you simply go to your internet and type in population control agenda. You can go to my website, radioliberty.com, and just go down to population control agenda. Understand what Michael is saying is right. Do you value your life, your family's life? We're dealing with people who have a different worldview, who have put no value on human life. And you have to ask yourself, who in the world would be like that? And what rational people would want that? Well, ladies and gentlemen, we're not dealing with rational people. When you understand that, it really begins to make sense. And today, we hope that you'll go to freedomadvocates.org. Freedomadvocates.org. And so you can get Michael's DVD from Radio Liberty. Agenda 21, The Wretching Transformation of America. We'll be back in a moment. Well, Michael, you've got 3 minutes to wrap up the program.
Well, I think my wrap-up would consist of this. We are at a very dangerous time in the course of human history. The American experiment is on the line. We've got a federal administration that is fully committed to the global order. But that's not where the real threat comes today. The real threat is with your city council. Because if you've got a next-door neighbor who's on the city council and he doesn't know about sustainable development, then he's simply a dupe. Because sustainable development, Agenda 21 policies are in your town. And those policies will lead to the creation of so-called city-states. That is, regions, that's a key word, regions that report to the global order. The San Francisco Bay Area, no surprise to most people across the country, is the first. You know, Paul Saffo says, we are already a city-state, you know, but they're going to take further steps to create that division between the San Francisco Bay Area and Sacramento and the San Francisco Bay Area and Washington. If you want to hear Paul Saffo's 17-minute speech delivered to the Joint Venture Silicon Valley, go to freedomadvocates.org. It's the top video on our homepage over in the right-hand column. You'll see it on the top bold of of the homepage, freedomadvocates.org. But while you're there, dig around. Begin to understand the nature of One Bay Area, understand the nature of regionalism, understand where it is our politicians are taking us. And when you get riled enough, cause everybody you know to understand the same message. Because we're having to do this in 1760 style. Get on your horse, spread the word. Don't count on the king to send you a newspaper to give you this report. Because the kings, guys like Bill Gates, aren't going to do that. They're part of the program to take down America. And you, me, our friends, neighbors, and relatives have got to stand up and just say no.
I agree with you. It's very well said, because our guest has been Michael Shaw, certainly of freedomadvocates.org. That's freedomadvocates.org. You've got to go to his website. You need to get his information. He has really so many of various items that will help you to understand how this all fits together. And using the background of all environmentalism and protecting the environment, they intend to destroy humanity and kill off the vast majority of the people in the world today. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest has been Michael Shaw. Michael, God bless. Thanks very much. I'll give you a call. We'll get you on to all the programs.
Well, thank you, Dr. Stan.
God bless. Okay, fine. That was Michael Shaw, and he's doing a great job. And certainly you want to go to his website, freedomadvocates.org. Michael lives here in Santa Cruz. It's amazing that the two of us here together. We never knew one another until he got involved in this, but certainly he's a great asset and a wonderful source of information. You want to get his talk, Agenda 21, The Wretching Transformation of America. It's available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Agenda 21, The Wretching Transformation of America. You probably would want to get the copy of this talk tonight, certainly of this a conversation we just had with him. This is available on CD. You want to get my talk on Agenda 21, planned certainly population reduction. Just go to my talk on Agenda 21, and it'll give you the tremendous insight into what's going on. And they're both available by calling 1-800-544-8927. But his is Agenda 21, The Wretching Transformation of America. And mine, of course, is Agenda 21. Certainly just ask for it, and you'll get them both. You can get them separately. If you get mine, you'll want to get the syllabus that comes with it, because we go into the background. We give you the documentation, not of what I say, but what they say about this plan, this genocidal program that is being implemented today. They've already killed billions of people, or prevented the births of billions of people, about 4 billion. Of course, through abortion, they've probably killed about 2 billion, and then they've prevented another 2 billion from being born, certainly in Europe today. Why? I guess it takes 2.1 children per family to reproduce. I said, you're talking about 1.0 children per family, 1.4 children per family in Germany, 1.2 children per family, certainly in right now, of course, not in a position to, I'm not quite sure why we seem to be getting, anyway, I want to say that this is unusual, and certainly, I'm really not able to really discuss this. Certainly my problems are really very, very difficult to present to the entire study of what's going out today. But we hope that many of you out there will certainly go to our website, radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. And you can get the material from Radio Liberty at that address. If you have not read my book on Brotherhood of Darkness, you need to get that. If you've certainly not read my information, certainly on the secret societies that exist today that are moving us towards this one world government. You need to get that. You need to get my book, talking about the information that is all moving against America today, intent upon creating a one world government, a one world progressive system, and basically, Chris, what they want is to destroy freedom in the United States today. Now, you can get our material by calling us at 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. If you'd like to get a copy of the talk that we just had, we hope that you'll give us a call. That's 1-800-544-8927. And then, of course, we hope that you'll tell others about our program, get them listening. And then, of course, we hope that you'll get a copy of my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. That's Brotherhood of Darkness. You can either get the book or you can get the videotape. And then, of course, we ask you to pray for America. We ask you to pray for revival. We ask you to pray for my ministry, Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection. And so until tomorrow at the same time, may the Lord be with you.
Let us all be grateful.
Radio show. It is the 13th of May, 2013. A lot of people consider Benghazi to be the seminal event, if you will, in the downing of the reputation and the presidency of Obama. Is it? I don't know. As some people are also saying, there may be another false flag operation to take the heat off of the other situation. Now, if you've been watching television over the weekend, you must have whiplash. You must be ready for a room with really soft walls in it. Because this is a trial for anyone to put up with, well, he said, she said, and well, I don't know, that was a misstatement. And I don't know, it was incredible. Well, it's the Republicans' fault. It's the liberals' fault. It's the everybody's fault, but getting to the facts of what happened. When will someone call it what it was? I can't even imagine listening to that all weekend long. I heard bits and pieces and decided this is nothing but rabbit trail